you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy.
Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. Every Sunday at 9:30 a.m., you can catch us here at Heaven 97 KHVN. This is 9:70 a.m. in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, as well as streaming live online at true-church.org. And we try to bring you a True Church Perspective each week. We want to start the broadcast off. First, I want to discuss the September 18th event that we're having here in the Metroplex area in Arlington, Texas, at Cornerstone Baptist Church. My good friend, Pastor Dwight McKissick. This is going to be a unique Truth Behind Hip Hop sermon because we're going to deal with a lot of the things that are going on now that hip hop is trying to take our children into. And this is going to be a little different than the other ones. So make sure you come out. Make sure you bring your youth, bring parents. You need to come. Pastors, especially, you need to come. We're going to talk about some things that you're just not going to believe that the enemy is doing through music right now and just through rap artists and these iconic pop stars, the things that the enemy has brought into our homes and is feeding to our children on the down low, on the sly. And I mean, it just takes a message like this to expose some of these things. And I know people say, well, you know, all you got to do is just be holy and you won't have to deal with them. Well, yeah, but children sometimes are at an age where they are dealing with peer pressure. They're dealing with different things. And we have to be informed. We cannot fight a battle blind. You know, someone sent out a mailer and they sent me one of the responses that they got back. And it was a lady saying, I don't want to hear nothing G. Craig got to say because, you know, he just talking about people and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. So because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, all you got to do is get filled with the Holy Ghost and you won't want to listen to no hip hop. Well, if you feel with the Holy Ghost power of God, you shouldn't desire, should I say, to do certain things. But because that Holy Spirit is wrapped in flesh, your flesh is still gonna desire fleshly things. And unless we consecrate ourselves unto God and make decisions to do the right thing, the wrong thing is gonna constantly lead us down the wrong path. So we have to be careful how we, you know, talk about it. And, you know, I grew up in an era where people always talk about, you know, you just get filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't want to do wrong and you won't want to do bad no more. And that's not necessarily true. There are times when the flesh is tempted and there are times when you want to do the wrong thing. There are times when you can't hear the right voice. There are times when your flesh gets out of control. And this is why we've been talking about fasting. We've been talking about denying your flesh. This is why Paul and Peter and James, this is why they wrote these great epistles to teach us how to tame our flesh, get our flesh under control, how to do the right thing. Do you think these messages were to sinners? No, these books are to saints of God. These books were to churches. These books were to church gatherings and fellowships. They were talking to the church of God about sin and not letting sin abound and living free from sin. So let's don't be shallow with the, all you got to do is be filled with the Holy Ghost and you ain't going to ever want to do wrong. That is a lie from the pits of hell. As long as you in the flesh, there are going to be times when you are tempted to do the wrong thing. And this is why we have to have the right thing before us. We have to have the right thing preached to us. We have to have the right thing highlighted over the wrong thing. And so this is why we shoot the Truth Behind Hip Hop series. This is why we shoot all the other videos and DVDs that we have and the new book that we have coming out. These things are to help enhance the body of Christ so you will understand and not be deceived. And we have to stand guard as parents and leaders and guard our children and protect our children. And the most important way to do that is to be informed. Information. If you understand what's in the music, you'll understand how to minister against the music. If you understand what the artists are up to, you'll understand how to pray against what the artist is doing. You'll understand how to combat these things in your home. So, y'all, it's time for us to take a stand for our young people. So I encourage you, please don't let anybody talk you out of coming. This is going to be a monumental experience, and you're going to learn things you've never learned before. Come out to the Truth Behind Hip Hop recording at Cornerstone Baptist Church. That's on Matlock Road in Arlington, Texas. This will start at 7, but the doors are open at 6:15, so you can come get a good seat. We'll be shooting a DVD, and we will have our books available there where you can pick up a book, and I'll also sign the books after the service. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful service. You will not regret bringing your children. Their eyes will be open. We are praying for deliverance. Whatever you've been seeking God for your children, I do believe God is going to open the door for that to happen there at Cornerstone on September the 18th. Come on, let's talk about some things here. Now, we're going to continue to talk about fasting. We've dealt with it for the last 2 weeks, talking about denying your flesh. But this time we're going to really talk about, after you deny your flesh, learning to master your flesh. And this is very important when it comes to receiving the things of God, because many of us suffer from not having what we want to have in God and in the kingdom of God because sin abounds in our lives, or the body of sin has blocked our blessings and different things. And you know, it's funny how we have all these sermons and all these messages and all these pastors that are preaching financial miracle and financial breakthrough and financial this and money that, and money cometh and money will come, and all of these old, you know, philosophies that get money, but they aren't rebuking the sin of the people. And they don't understand that all through the Old Testament, and you can research it yourself, all through the Old Testament, what blocked the blessings of God from coming to his people was sin. It's when they mixed and mingled with false gods. It's when they performed the customs of the false gods, when they worshiped false gods, when they went after sin, when they went after their own lust and did the things that pleasured themselves. This is when God would not bless them. And he said, I put before you this day in Deuteronomy a blessing and a curse. He said, a blessing if you obey me and do what I say, but a curse if you disobey me and go against me and go after other gods which have done nothing for you. So this is what God spoke in the word, and he's still the same God. He has not changed. So we need some sermons in these churches about how to live right and live holy and do our best to do what God wants us to do and walk like God wants us to walk. We need sermons about how to keep false gods out of our lives and how to keep false God worship out of our lives and going after other gods. You know, we do a lot of that. The devil has disguised the false gods, you know, fraternities, sororities, Freemasonry. He is hidden the false God worship in those pledges and into those organizations. He's hidden the false God worship into recording artists that sing after false gods. Erykah Badu, Alicia Keys, Jill Scott, artists like that, you know, that worship false gods and go after other gods. Michael Jackson, when he was living, Prince, and all these others that worship other gods, and they infuse this into their music to deceive you and to change your spiritual mood so that you can't receive from God. God is not going to let you worship another god and be pleasing unto him. You're not going to get the blessings and the benefits of God while you listening to the Roots and neo soul artists that go after other gods. Don't you know those are songs that are written and inspired by false god worship? Those are songs of five percenters and other strange gods and organization. And God is saying, if you're going after them, you will not receive my blessing. I know folks don't have two quarters to rub together and even get air at the gas station. They can't get gas and they can't even afford the air and the water at the gas station. And they have no money. Their money every month, they get their check and it looks like somebody set the check on fire and burned it right before their eyes. They have nothing. They can't get nothing financial. Then they have misery and pain in their lives and hurt and always bent out of shape and always feeling bad and just never in a good mood. And then you look in their CD player, you look in their iPod, and what's in there? Five percenters, false god worship songs, just songs by those that go after God. And I'm like, you're not adding this up. Don't you see what this is adding up to? This is because you are not pleasing God. If you're going after a false god, you can't please God. I know young ladies that have pledged into sororities and, you know, they've given their pledge and their oath to these false gods, Aphrodite and Minerva and Athena and all these gods that you pledge to. And then, you know, they can't find a husband. They're always miserable. The husband they got is sorry and they got to boss him around and push him around and he's jiving and living a life that is just full of foolishness, calling themselves a Christian. Don't even understand that sin has come over them because of their false god pledges that they made. Men that are Freemasons and in these organizations and their children are crazy and possessed by the devil, but they're not making the link to the sin that is going on in their lives. If you are, like the Bible said, whoring around with a false god, if there's false god presence in your life, you will not receive the blessings of God. I love this passage here, Genesis 4 and 6. And it says, "And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look sad and depressed and dejected?" This is when the Lord had approached Cain. He was jealous and envious of his brother Abel because Abel was pleasing unto God with his sacrifice. Abel gave a sacrifice of God, which was a live lamb, and Cain gave a sacrifice of his own work, which was cultivating the field. And God was pleased with Abel, and he was displeased with Cain's sacrifice. So the Lord said, "Cain, what you mad at?" He said, "Why do you look sad and depressed and dejected?" He said, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" Oh, this is so powerful. He said, "If you do the right thing, wouldn't I be pleased with you?" In other words, God is saying, you're sitting around mad. You mad at me. You mad at your brother. And it's your fault. You're the one doing the wrong thing. Don't you understand? If you do the right thing, you will be received and happy. This is what I don't understand. People that are living a life full of sin and just, you know, people that just going to the club and partying and tattooed up and piercing themselves and supposed to be some kind of Christian, always hanging out in atmospheres that are demonic and messed up, and then wonder why they don't have peace. And they're going to church to be loosed and set free. And I'm like, you should have loosed yourself from that club. And so God is just checking him here and saying, why are you mad? And it's your fault. And that's what we need to realize. He's talking about sin. He said, if you do well, you will be accepted. He said, but if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Meaning when you're doing the wrong thing, sin is getting ready to pounce on you and its desire is for you. So listen now, this is very powerful because it's saying that sin even has a desire to get you. So please don't be foolish, people. When I'm preaching these kind of messages, I'm not just trying to, like they say, high side or rank on you or nothing because of the lifestyle you're living. But understand, just like God is talking to Cain, he's saying, it's your fault. It's the stuff you are doing. Do you think you can keep doing wrong? Do you think you can keep living lasciviously? Do you think you can keep doing what you want to do and then benefit from the blessings of God and benefit from the word of God? You can't do that. He's telling them right here, sin is crouching at your door, getting ready to pounce on you. Its desire is for you. But I love this right here, what he says. God says, but you must master it. Now, what does it mean to master sin? It means that you don't make sin your master, but you master it. In other words, you don't follow sin. The Bible tells us here that its desire is for you. Sin desires to be followed by you. But we know when we are partakers of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we become followers of Christ. We don't follow our flesh. This is why I've been stressing the fast, because once we get in the place where our flesh is trying to rule us, then we need to go back, fast, and deny our flesh pleasure for a season so that we will not follow it and it will not rule us. Romans 6 and 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Reign, right there. When you hear reign, this is R-E-I-G-N, like a king would reign or rule. So it's saying, don't let sin rule your body. But see, sin can master you and be your ruler. And really what he was telling Cain was, just do the right thing. That is how you master sin, by doing what is right. That is how you escape sin, by doing the right thing. If you do the wrong thing, sin will crouch down. It's right in the way. And the thing you do wrong doesn't have to be sin. You could do something wrong that's not even sin, but it's going to lead to sin because it's crouching at the door waiting, according to the scripture. So 6 and 12 says, "Let not sin reign or rule like a king." It can reign in you just like a king. And you understand, a king has dominance and makes decrees that you must follow. Sin does the same thing. Once you get into sin, you'll walk this path of sin. And you know, they always say it's good not to lie, because you won't remember the lie and you got to tell another lie to cover for that lie. Well, that's kind of how sin is. Once you get in the habit of sinning, it will lead to more sin, and then you will become desensitized to what is sin. In other words, you'll start trying to make it okay to do what was wrong. You remember when you first got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you was ready to go out and tell everybody, and you was on fire, and I mean, you didn't even wear shoes to church because you didn't want to wear the heel down shouting. You just bumped into everybody, knocked folks over. I mean, you just excited about the Lord. I mean, you done dove into the drums and hit the organ sideways. I mean, you just tearing the church up because you are happy about what had happened to you. And so you were telling everybody about it. And somebody said, "Well, you want to go to the club Saturday night?" "Oh, no, I can't go to the club because I'm saved and I'm filled." And you were powerful then. But now, you know, 10 years later, you want to go to the club? Well, let me think about it. See, what happens is, if you surround yourself with sin, if you don't keep that fire burning, that fire that, and I'm not saying you got to fly into the drums at the church, but the fire that excited you and ignited you for the cause of the kingdom, you have to keep that burning. How do you do that? Well, when you get that, let me think about the club. I mean, whenever you feel like you're starting to lose that, you need to go on a fast. This is when you pull back and say, "You know what? I'm too carnal right now. I'm making carnal decisions and carnal judgments, and I can't hear the voice of God like I need to. I can't follow it like I need to. So you know what? I need to push my plate away. I need to go on a fast so I can get back where God had me and where I understood what it was and what sin meant." But what this is saying is, if sin is crouching next to you, and if you're not doing the right thing, you'll get desensitized to it, and sin won't look as bad as it is. This is why we're having such a problem with the homosexual agenda. I mean, you walk in some churches, you would think that the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender was having a meeting in these churches. You got a sissy on the organ. You got a sissy directing the choir. You got a homosexual pastor in the church. You got them leading the worship. You got them ushering and taking your gum out your mouth and all that. I mean, they just everywhere. The place is just creepy. But you walk into many of these buildings and they're like that, and you're wondering, what is going on? I mean, you're looking up there like, is the pastor of this church Helen Keller? I mean, you can't see nothing. You can't hear them. Some homosexual, you don't even have to see. You can just hear them. Thank God for being here. I mean, what is going on? Well, what is really going on is, there's been so much sin around that the people have literally gotten desensitized to it. They can't even see it anymore. And this is a danger of it. This is what God was telling Cain. Do the right thing and I'll accept you. He said, but if you do the wrong thing, sin is going to crouch right next to you at the door. It's going to stand right there and you'll get desensitized to it. You won't even recognize it anymore. He's saying, so you can't let sin at the door or sin will take over and control you, but you have to master it. James 4:7 is very powerful. And I'm going to try to wrap this up. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. At first it says submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, he'll leave you alone. Now, a couple of definitions of resistance that are very important. The first one is it's the capacity of an organism to defend itself against a disease. So when your resistance is built up from vitamins or eating the right thing or different things, then when a cold comes or when disease comes or a virus, you can ward it off or fight it off because your resistance is built up. Well, when it's talking about the capacity of an organism to defend itself against disease, that capacity, of course, is God. It's the power of God to defend you against sin. And the second definition, the capacity of an organism or a tissue to withstand the effects of a harmful environment. This is very powerful here because we know the earth is not our home. But right now, the world is a harmful environment to the believers and the kingdom of God. These people that live in sin and promote death and destruction and all these different things, we have to live here and be in the world, but we can't be of the world. But we must have this cure in us, which is the power of the living God. If we submit to God first, then we will have his resistance. This is what it's talking about. We'll be able to resist the temptation and resist the devil. And if you can resist him, he will leave you alone for a season. So this is why we have to make sure we have God's power in us, just like a cure operating in us, so that we can defend ourselves from the enemy and we can withstand the effects of a harmful environment. But the key to all of this is submitting to God. That's why James said first, submit to God. Then you resist the devil and he will leave you alone. This is very powerful. The same thing he told Cain. He told him, if you do the right thing, if you resist the devil and do what you're supposed to do, then you won't have to worry about it. But if you don't, sin is going to try to master you. This is why I've been preaching about a fast. This is why I've been preaching about getting before God and seeking God and getting a close relationship with God. So let's understand a couple of things before we close. Sin is darkness, and when you're in sin, you become a darkness advocate. That means that when there's enough sin around, you'll begin to get desensitized to it. You'll even begin to promote it and it won't bother you like it used to bother you. This is why I talked about earlier. You got to go on that fast. You got to go on that time that you pull back. You got to submit to God so you can resist the devil. You can have the ability to withstand the effects of a harmful environment. But if you aren't paying attention, you'll be in a harmful environment doing the wrong thing. So this is why it's important that we understand that sin is darkness. And if we hang out in darkness, we'll become a darkness advocate. Sin is division because it causes you to have two masters. And we know Matthew 6:24 tells us no man can serve two masters. Sin also blocks your victory. And if there is no victory first over sin, there is no true victory. So we know that if you don't have victory over sin, you're missing the first step in receiving any blessings of God. You have to have victory and power over your flesh to receive what God has for you. And then number four, sin blocks your blessings because if you're not obedient to God, you will not be rewarded. God does not reward an unruly child. You have to be obedient to God and resist the devil to please him. And once he's pleased, he don't mind blessing you. He'll trust you with the deeper things that he has for you. He'll give you what he wants you to desire. But these are things that come when you walk in obedience unto God. And finally, sin can be mastered only by the Spirit of God. We do not have the capacity to resist in the flesh. We have to have God, the power of God operating. Now, this is where, when they say being filled with the Holy Ghost, this is what being filled with His Spirit does. When you're filled with the true Spirit of God, it gives you the ability to master sin. Now, this doesn't stop you from being tempted. It doesn't stop you sometimes from wanting to do what's wrong. It doesn't stop you from seeing the wrong thing and saying the wrong thing and even falling into sin. It doesn't stop any of that. But what it does is it gives you the ability to master sin so you can take charge of your life and give your life wholeheartedly to God where He can trust you with His deep things. Listen to me, people of God. Stop chasing conference after conference looking for a way out. Stop listening to all of these voices trying to tell you that your money is going to get you out of it. Listen, people of God, if you dedicate yourself to Him, if you submit to Him, resist the devil, he will flee from you. This is why it's important. You need to go on a fast. You need to take time and die to your flesh, die to your desire to be fleshly. Pleasing your flesh all the time will only get you in trouble. So you can't just keep doing what you want to do. This is what Cain was doing. He was doing it his way. And God said, no, if you do the right thing, I'll accept you. But you're walking around mad and angry, hurt and busted and disgusted and tore up and messed up because it's your fault. It's the things that you are doing that are putting you in this place. Now, please don't get me wrong. Many of us are suffering trials and tribulations and different things that have nothing to do with sin. We're suffering all kinds of things. People have lost their jobs. People have been in unfortunate situations. And I do believe that God is going to make it work together for the good of Him. If you love Him and you are called according to His purpose, then yeah, certain things happen and certain things, you know, that we can't control happen. I'm not talking about those things. So please don't get this mixed up. I'm talking to the people that are living lives that are not pleasing unto God, but expecting to be blessed by God. Those of you, please hear me. The Bible is saying, die to yourself, deny yourself. Don't let sin reign over you and don't let it crouch at your door. But if you want to receive the blessings of God, you must learn to master sin. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for this message. And I believe it's for many, God. There are many of us that have sat under the wrong leadership, listened to the wrong preachers. God, they have not identified the true problem with us. They have not identified that it's the sin. It's the things that we're doing that are displeasing unto you. It's the bad decision making. God, it's us not hearing you. We're not hearing the right direction. Father, I believe, Lord, that this is why so many have calamity and their lives are in trouble and turmoil because of bad judgment calls and decisions. God, doing the wrong thing like Cain was doing and then walking around angry at the church and angry at you and angry at others because of bad judgment calls. Father, I pray for them right now, everyone under the sound of my voice. Father God, they may be in that situation and their life is not where they know it needs to be or where you desire it to be. I pray for them right now, God, that you will give them the light, the answer, and the way. Father, you will show them which way to go and which things to take out of their lives and how to deny their flesh. God, you will lead them on a fast. You will lead them on a time to separate themselves from those things, God, that are crouching at their door waiting to pounce on them. And you're going to give them the ability, Father God, to reign over sin and sin not reign over them. You're going to give them the ability to master it. And it's going to be through your Spirit, your power, Father, that they be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, God, so that they can have the power to resist even when temptation comes, God, even, Father God, when they partake in the wrong thing. God, they'll be able to not make it a lifestyle, but walk away from it and be delivered from it because your Spirit, God, will protect them and help them to master sin. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.
How powerful is music? Music can make you do something you hadn't intended on doing.
EX Ministries presents The Truth Behind Hip Hop, Part 5.
Are you gonna be a gospel gangster? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new.
Friday, September 18th at Cornerstone Baptist Church, 5415 Matlock Road, Arlington, Texas. Service starts at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:15. Admission is free. For information or special seating, call area code 214-793-3120 or visit us on the web at exministries.com.
Look at somebody say case closed.